Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the eighth Sunday after Trinity comes from our Old Testament reading of Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Thus far the text. But we do so love the words of the prophets who fill our hearts with vain hopes. We like the way that they sound. We like the words that they use. It appeals to the sinner in all of us, doesn't it? Just take your pick. You can find one that will fit your fancy. Do you like to be given a laundry list of things to do and things not to do? Well, you can find a prophet for that. Or perhaps you're one who likes a more gentle, more inclusive sort of word that skirts around saying anything of real or actual substance, but by the end it does make you all warm and squishy inside. Well, there are plenty of those prophets too. Or maybe you're just like me. Maybe it really depends on the day, maybe even the hour, the type of mood that you just happen to be in. At one moment you may love the law and want to find comfort in your ability to keep it. The next, you may find yourself despising the law and wishing to hear a word that pretends that it really doesn't say anything, that there's no real absolute truths whatsoever. Maybe you just switch back and forth multiple times a day. I do, and that's no matter at all. You'll never run out of false prophets to find to preach to you. The problem that we have is that we want there so desperately to be really no difference at all in the words that we actually hear. What might be right for you is fine, but for me, there's something completely different. Or as the kids today now put it, you do you and I'll do me. Well, where's the harm in all of that? We muse to ourselves. Why does it really even matter? The strange thing is, these deadly words from these false prophets only have power because they actually have an audience. And they only have an audience because each and every single one of us, all of our sinful flesh, actually desires to hear those vain words of hope that they're speaking to us. If no one wanted to hear them, then they would just soon fade away into obscurity. We would chalk up all of these false prophets as wackos like Jim Jones or David Koresh. But I suppose if you think about it, even they and their crazy words had many poor lost souls that followed them to their death. More often than not, the words of the false prophets are so sweet to our itching ears. They have to be. Otherwise, there would be no temptation whatsoever, would there? It would be like a parent trying to get their kid to clean their rooms by promising them a big heaping plate of broccoli. Such a reward means nothing because no kid would ever be filled with hope at the chance to gorge themselves on this smelly vegetable that tastes like wood and gets stuck in your teeth. Now, on a side note, so I don't get in trouble with any parents, kids, eat your broccoli. It's good for you. But all kidding aside, this is really no laughing matter. It's not trivial either. We can't just pretend that it doesn't exist. False prophets have been around since the fall, when that slithering serpent of Satan whispered false words into our first parents' ears, Adam and Eve, filling their hearts with vain hopes and unimaginable promises that could never, ever come true. And these same false prophets were around during the time of Jeremiah. They're around during the time of Paul, too. With Jeremiah, the people found themselves in captivity in Babylon. They were enslaved because they had actually listened to these false prophets and all of their vain hopes and words. And then, so lost in unbelief were they, that they truly believed that if they continued to listen to these same false prophets and same vain hopes and promises, that they would be able to be rescued from this captivity that they were in. And from the outside looking in, we might find ourselves laughing at the absurdity of it all. But perhaps, I suppose, first, we should take heed of our own hole that we've all dug for ourselves, and our own belief that if we just keep digging down, we will eventually, somehow, make it to the top. Let's stop kidding ourselves. False prophets and vain hopes abound, and they are dangerous. If they weren't dangerous, then Jesus wouldn't warn us of this very thing in our gospel reading. So if you won't listen to the words of Jeremiah or the words of Paul or the words of me, then listen to the words of Jesus. Beware of these false prophets, he says. They're like wolves in sheep's clothing. That's poignant. It's important. False prophets are within the church. And they're so dangerous because they look and they sound like innocent little sheep that could never, ever do us harm. And yet they're anything but. They're actually wolves, and their words are words of death. This is what Jesus says. The difficulty that our sinful flesh has with these false prophets and their vain hopes is that they actually tie themselves to Jesus. They tie their words to Jesus too. And really, that's the way it's always been, ever since the Garden of Eden. For Satan did not come speaking words that were foreign to Adam and Eve. He came with God's own words on his lips, only he twisted them just slightly, just enough, so that they were no longer God's word. They just sounded like God's word. And that's one of the dangers of the false prophets, the dangers of the devil himself. They never come dressed like an ugly monster that we would run screaming from. They never speak words into our ears that couldn't find a home. Instead, they're disguised as angels of light with seemingly heavenly words that promise everything that our sinful flesh could ever want or desire or cling on to. And the second danger, perhaps even the more important danger, is that these false prophets, these vain words of hope, they only lead to damnation. And they must. If they didn't, then Jeremiah would never warn us of these demons of light. Neither would Jesus, neither would Paul. If they didn't lead to destruction, Jesus would be fine with them. If all roads just lead to heaven, and all words of promise say the same things, and all paths are equally straight, and all prophets are equally valid, then we would never hear a word from our Lord that says anything different. Instead, he would just sit up there in heaven and just let everything play out, because none of it would really matter. Just think of a maze where every path you took led to the finish line. If that were the case, Jesus would say so, and he wouldn't say differently. But he does. He says so over and over again, and he does so because it actually matters. These things matter. For all of the false prophets and all of their words of vain hope lead us to the same place. Think again of a maze, of the hundreds of different paths that you could actually take. Only one in a true maze leads to the finish line. All the rest, quite literally, lead to a dead end. And for our purpose, the dead end is not metaphorical. It literally leads to eternal death. But the sinner within us asks the question, why? How could that be? How can there only really be one path and one way and one truth? Why can't there be many and more? Again, that's the danger, the deadly danger of these false prophets and their vain words of hope. It's not that they just lead us on a different path, but they lead us away from Jesus. And that's the crux of it all, the whole problem. If you're led away from Jesus, the real Jesus, the Jesus that Jesus talks about, then it doesn't matter what other road you take or what other false prophet you might listen to or follow, whatever vain words you might like to hear, they all take you away from Jesus. And if Jesus is taken away from you, then you're dead. Dead in your sin, dead in your trespasses. And that's real. It's important. Deadly so. The purpose of these warnings that we heard in all three readings today, from Jeremiah, from Jesus, from Paul, they give them so that we might not lose Jesus. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Him. If this isn't true, then Jesus wouldn't say it. If this isn't true, then Jesus is a liar. And if Jesus is a liar, then He's not a Savior. And if He's not a Savior, then yeah, go ahead. Take any path you choose. Listen to any word that fills your heart with hope. It doesn't matter at that point. Whether the false prophets would ever say such a thing out loud, whether you and I would ever admit such a thing out loud when we listen to their words of vain hope, that doesn't matter either. What they are truly saying at the end of the day with all of their vain hopes, and what we are actually believing at the end of the day when we believe their words, is that Jesus is a liar and that His words are false. Take Jesus at His word, or don't. But let's stop fooling ourselves by pretending that He has said words that He hasn't, or that He hasn't said words that He actually has. Call Jesus Savior, call Jesus liar. There's just two options. But Jesus speaks no lies, and He is no liar. His words are truth because His words speak the truth about Him, about who He is, and what He's done for you, what He's actually accomplished, what He's done and accomplished for you. It's not that Jesus is just some prideful and arrogant little man who wants you to follow Him just to boost up his ego. He speaks to you words of life so that you might have life. Nothing He says, nothing He does is for His own good. It's for yours. Beware of the false prophets, Jesus says, because they bring you death. And there's nothing trivial about this. Their words only bring death. But my words bring you life, Jesus says. And these are the words of Jesus. God Himself took on your human flesh. He actually became one of you. And that matters. God took on your flesh. He was carried in His mother's womb just like you, born just like you, lived a life as a man, as a flesh and blood man, with joyful times and sorrowful ones, celebrating at weddings and birthdays and then crying at funerals. Jesus heard the words of His Father and yours, the word of the law that demanded perfection, and for your sake He fulfilled all of it, every last thing. He did what you could not, what you could never hope to do. He didn't come preaching that the law doesn't exist and that sin isn't real, and He never once told you that you then must earn your own way back to God the Father. Instead, He said, take a look at the law. Take a good, long, hard look at the law and see your sin and see all of its ugliness. Don't pretend otherwise and don't think for a second that you can tip the scales in your direction. Just look at the law and see your death. Have you done that? Jesus says. Good. Now look at me. Don't take your eyes off of me for one second, for I am your salvation. Me, only me. There is no one else, not out there and not inside of yourself, just me. And I've come to fulfill that law that damns you. And more than that, I've come to trade my perfect righteousness for your imperfect sinfulness. What is yours is now mine. What is mine is now yours. And I have taken all that which was yours into myself, and I nailed it on that cross, and I buried it deep into the grave. That's what I've done for you. Your sins are gone. Your sins are forgiven. You have been made perfect in me. You have life, true life in me and in no one else, not even in yourself. Just me, always me, but me for you. Always me for you, Jesus says. That's why I warn you to beware of the false prophets and their vain words of hope, for they take you away from me, the way, the truth, and the life, and they lead you to death. But I've gone to the cross and the grave and back for you so that you might never have to taste that death which your sins deserve and which the law demands. I've done it all, and I've done it all for you. Those are the words of Jesus. Any other word brings nothing but death. But the words of Jesus, only the words of Jesus, bring forgiveness and life. In the name of Jesus.